The body has no monopoly on suffering. Emotional pain, the pain in our hearts and minds, is far more widespread and just as likely to be debilitating as physical pain. This pain can take many forms. There is the suffering of self-condemnation, such as when we blame ourselves for something we did or for something we didn't do, or when we feel unworthy or stupid and lack confidence in ourselves. If we caused other people hurt, we might also experience the pain of guilt, a combination of self-blame and remorse. There is pain in anxiety, worry, fear, and terror. There is pain in loss and grief, humiliation and embarrassment, despair and hopelessness. We may carry one kind of emotional pain or another deep within our hearts, often for much of our lives, like a heavy and sometimes secret burden, at times unknown even to ourselves. As with physical pain, our emotional pain is also trying to tell us something. It too is a messenger. Feelings have to be acknowledged, at least to ourselves. They have to be encountered and felt in all their force. There is simply no other way through to the other side of them. If we ignore our feelings and emotions, or repress them, or suppress them, or sublimate them, they fester and yield no resolution, no peace. And if we exaggerate them and dramatize them and preoccupy ourselves with their turmoil without any awareness of what we are doing, they also linger on and cause us to become stuck. Even in the tortured throes of grief or anger, in the gnawing remorse of guilt, in the slack tides of sadness and hurt, and in the swells of fear, it's still possible to be mindful. To know that in this moment I am feeling grief, I am feeling anger, I am feeling guilty or sad or hurt or frightened or confused. Strange as it may sound, the intentional knowing of your feelings in times of emotional suffering contains in itself the seeds of healing. Just as we saw with physical pain, that part of you that can know your feelings, that sees clearly what they are, that can accept them in the present, while they are happening, no matter what they are, in their full undisguised fury, if that is the case, or in their many disguises, such as confusion, rigidity, alienation, or despair, that awareness itself has an independent perspective that is outside of your suffering. It is not buffeted by the storms of the heart and of the mind. The storms still have to run their course. Their pain has to be felt. But they actually unfold differently when cradled in awareness. For one thing, they are no longer just happening to you like an outside force. You are now taking responsibility for feeling what you're feeling in this moment, because this is what is happening now in your life. These moments of pain are as much moments to be lived fully as are any others, and they can actually teach us a great deal, although few of us would seek out these lessons willingly. But relating to your pain consciously, as long as it is here anyway, allows you to be a participant with your feelings rather than a victim of them. Mindfulness allows us to see more clearly into the nature of our pain. Sometimes it helps us to cut through confusion, hurt feelings, and emotional turmoil caused perhaps by misperceptions or exaggerations and our desire that things be a certain way. When you next find yourself in a period of suffering, try listening for a calm inner voice that might be saying, "Isn't this interesting? Isn't it amazing what a human being can go through? Amazing how much pain and anguish I can feel or create for myself or get bogged down in." In listening for a calm voice within your own heart, within your own pain, you will be reminding yourself to observe the unfolding of your emotions with wise attention, with a degree of non-attachment. You may find yourself wondering how things will finally be resolved, and knowing that you don't know, that you will just have to wait and see. Yet you can be certain that a resolution will come, that what you are experiencing is like the crest of a wave. It can't keep itself up indefinitely. It has to release. And you will know as well that how you handle what is going on at the crest of this wave can influence what the resolution will be. For instance, if in a fit of anger you say or do something that deeply harms another person, you have compounded the suffering of that moment even further and ensured that the resolution will be even further away and perhaps much less to your liking. So in moments of great emotional pain, perhaps you will come to accept not knowing how things will resolve in the present moment, and in that acceptance begin the process of healing. You may discern within your pain, even as you feel it, that some of it is coming from non-acceptance, from rejecting what has already happened, or what was said or done, from wanting things to be some other way, more to your liking, more under your control. Perhaps you would like another chance. Perhaps you want to turn back the clock and do something differently, or say something you didn't, or take back something you did. Perhaps you are jumping to conclusions without knowing the whole story and feeling hurt unnecessarily because of your own premature reactions to things. There are many ways in which we suffer, but usually they are variations on a few basic patterns. If you are mindful as emotional storms occur, perhaps you will see in yourself an unwillingness to accept things as they already are, whether you like them or not. Perhaps that part of you that does see this has, in one way or another, already come to terms with what has happened or with your situation. Perhaps, at the same time, it recognizes that your feelings still need to play themselves out, that they are not ready to accept or to calm down, and that this is all right. Profoundly healing insights may arise if you are willing to look deeply into your own emotional pain as it occurs. One major realization you might come to is the inevitability of change, the direct perception that, whether we like it or not, impermanence is in the very nature of things and relationships. One of the major sources of suffering in our lives is that we usually want to have things our own way. Thus, when things happen that we like, we feel that everything is going our way and we feel happy. And when things go against us, so to speak, when they do not happen the way we want or the way we expected or planned for, then we tend to feel thwarted, frustrated, angry, wounded, unhappy, and we suffer. The irony is that often we really don't know what our way is, even though we want to have it all of the time. If we get what we want, we usually want something else in addition. The mind somehow keeps finding new things that it needs in order to feel happy or fulfilled. In this regard, it is rarely satisfied with things as they are for very long, even if things are relatively peaceful and satisfying. When little children get upset because they can't have everything they see that they would like to have, we are apt to tell them, "You can't always have your own way." And when they say, "Why not?" we say, "Because," or you'll understand when you grow up. But this is a fiction we perpetrate on them. In fact, most of the time we grown-ups don't behave as if we understand life any better than our children do. We want to have things our own way, too. To break out of this trap of always being driven by our own desires, it's not a bad exercise to ask yourself from time to time, "What is my own way? What do I really want? Would I know it if I got it? Does everything have to be, quote, perfect right now, or under my total control right now, for me to be happy?" Alternatively, you might ask yourself, "Is everything already basically okay right now? Am I just not noticing the ways in which things are good, because my mind keeps coming up with ideas for what it has to have or has to get rid of before I can be happy, just like a child?" If you practice incorporating asking yourself about your own way into your meditation practice, you will find that it is very effective in bringing you back to the present moment. You might try sitting with the question, right now, what is my way? It's sufficient to ask the question. Trying to answer it isn't necessary. It's more fruitful just to ponder the question, keeping it alive from moment to moment, listening for the response from within your own heart. What is my own way? What is my own way? Many of the people in the stress reduction clinic rapidly discover their own way may be the life that they are actually living. What other way could be theirs? They come to see that their pain is a part of their own way too, and not necessarily an enemy. They also come to see that at least some of their emotional pain, if not most of it, comes from their own actions or inaction and is thus potentially manageable. In seeing with eyes of wholeness, they come to realize that they are not their suffering, just as they are not their symptoms, their physical pain, or their illness.